Hi, and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Season 3, Episode 13, The Pot Stirrer.
We had some tech issues, guys.
to put it mildly.
It's been one of those ones. But I don't want it to be all like, you know how Tenacious D song, like, best song in the world. I don't want to go down that route that, like, we recorded an intro that was amazing and hilarious. Like, it was so funny. And now I'm just really nervous that this one's going to be shit.
This is going to be shit, yeah.
But welcome. We are Never Seen the OC. I am Heather. I have never seen the OC.
I am Jane. I have seen the OC. And Heather, we didn't do that in the previous introduction.
We didn't.
So maybe it was
already
shit.
This is better.
Yeah.
Great. Reassuring. First things first, Rachel and Melinda Clark have a podcast.
They do.
Summer and Julie Cooper. I mean, our two favourites.
Our two favourites. How good will it be hearing their voices?
I'm so excited. I'm actually really excited. But we have both had several people message us about their podcast.
Infuriated.
Like raging.
Incandescent with rage. Yeah.
Pure raging. Like, just, and I, you were saying your friend was chatting to you about it.
Yeah, Jill had said, she was like, I mean, they must know about you guys. Like, surely if they're doing a rewatch podcast, they'll have been like seeking out all the current rewatch podcasts. And I'm like, yeah, there's quite a lot of, I think it always surprises people. She was like, yeah, I mean, I looked on their end and there's like the OC Italy and stuff. It's like, people are mad for this show all over the world.
People are mad for the show. I think that's the thing as well. Like, we did not come up with the idea of a rewatch podcast. Like, I love that everybody thinks that we have.
Yeah.
Everyone who DM'd us at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram. And there were a lot. There was a lot of people.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate your support. But, like, we are not the original epiphanies of, hey, let's make a podcast about rewatching it. We nicked this idea from an American podcast, guys. Like, it's okay. And I'm sure, like, there's enough room in this world for more than one OC rewatch podcast. So I am excited. I can't wait to hear what they're going to talk about.
It'll be awesome.
For sure. It is out April 27th.
April 27th.
A whole month away. Not like in the first time we recorded it and I thought it was next week. It's not. Yeah. It's March right now. It's confusing. March. Still March, guys. Still March. It might be April by the time this comes out.
Yes, April 1st is Thursday. It's my niece's birthday.
Exciting. Pinch punch, first of the month.
Yeah. Woo. April Fools.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of April Fools.
No,
I think
me
it's
neither.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It is. I don't like it. Any other business?
Yes. Again, we've already chatted about this, but we'll chat about it again.
First time you guys are hearing it.
So. So I watched a couple of Adam Brody films over the weekend, both which I would definitely recommend when they become more widely available. I watched on the internet.
You don't have to confess.
I watched on the internet.
Okay. don't tell anyone.
Promising Young Woman, which stars Carey Mulligan, was amazing. So the premise there is she is a young woman who's traumatized by a past event, and she's sort of seeking out everyone who has crossed her or wronged her, if you like. And Adam Brody features in the first scene of the film, not in a great light, to be honest. And we were originally recording the podcast yesterday, so I'd watched this on Friday and I was like, oh, this is going to leave me in a really bad way for recording the podcast.
You're not going to look at Seth in the same way.
So when we were recording today, last night, I watched another Adam Brody film, which he redeemed himself in. So it's called The Kid Detective. Quite a weird premise. He was this one sort of really celebrated kid detective as a 12-year-old that had this ability for solving all the town's sort of trivial crimes. And he's continued. Now he's 32. He's still doing the same thing, sort of solving these trivial mysteries between benders and hangovers and a lot of self-pity. And then this sort of 16-year-old girl comes to him and she wants him to solve the case of her boyfriend who's been brutally murdered. And the girl in it, she's like 16 and she is Sophie Nalise, I think. She played Liesl in The Book Thief. I don't know if you've seen The Book Thief.
I've not seen it. I've read the book.
But yeah, she's fab and Adam Brody is very hot. As a 32-year-old, not as a 12-year-old kid detective, as a 32-year-old. Yes. He's actually 42 in real life.
42? Oof, Seth's all grown up.
He looks great for it.
All that surfing and skateboarding that he does keeps him young
at heart. Yeah, you should check out those films when they are widely available on streaming platforms.
Okay, last time. I need to confess, normally when we do last time on the OC, we normally just watch what this shows on the show, like what happened, and it kind of gives you a wee synopsis of where we're at. This week I went freaking wild and just did it off the top of my head, just went rogue and was like, what actually happened last time? So sorry if you've done your notes and you're like, what is Heather talking
about?
I've gone wild, guys. It was Saturday morning, I was pumped up on coffee, let's go.
You give me yours and then I've got mine numbered 1 to 5, so
how organized. You don't want to see, one of these days I'm going to put a picture of my notes on on our Instagram, because my notes
nice
are just
and neat.
Like, do they though? Don't lie to me.
Right, go for it. Give us what you've
last
got.
Last time. Caitlin's back again with all her drama, all of the Caitlin drama. There was a lot of it. Julie and Neil are officially going on a date, which is exciting. Yeah. Julie and Kirsten launched their dating company. Ryan and Marissa and Johnny, the saga continues. Caitlin and Johnny, she went running into the sea and he looked angrily from the beach. And then the Newport group's still going. Sandy and Matt are like doing their thing. And then university chat, college chat, they're all trying to figure out who's going where. And considering this must be like January type time, I imagine it must be quite soon that we find out what's happening with that. We've not had a Valentine's Day episode, so
we haven't.
Hence why I'm thinking it must be January.
Must be coming up. Awesome. Well done, you. I would give you up. You've
Thanks.
Covered all the points.
Little gold star on my nose.
Yeah, so we then open in the Cohen house with Sandy and Kirsten, and Sandy's getting stressed out because he can't find his lucky tie, which Kirsten has, being the domestic goddess that she is, conveniently had it dry cleaned for him.
Why would you ever get a tie dry cleaned?
They've got too much money, ever. That's why.
It's insane. He is currently in the process of pitching for this hospital project that he'd kind of inherited from Caleb, but he's quite happy about it because it's a good project. It's what he's excited about. And then Seth comes downstairs and is just being like a little weirdo teenager.
Yeah.
Like cutting about in his dressing gown, just being a bit like moochy. Like, being a bit weird.
So Kirsten and Sandy pick up on this and think he looks quite distracted. And we then find out that he has an interview with Brown on Sunday. Who has an interview on a Sunday for a college?
We've talked about this before. American schools seem to do a lot on the weekend. Because remember, their applications had to be in on a Saturday, which was insane. Why would you ever get kids to try and do something for a deadline on a Saturday?
Yeah.
And then the Dean of Discipline, when Sandy was pulling him up, that was on a Sunday. Why are they all cutting about? And have a weekend, guys. Come on.
Yeah, it's actually funny you should say that, because in that Kid Detective movie, there's a reference to kids being in a school at a weekend, but I'll leave you to watch that. But yeah.
Weird.
Anyway, but,
sure.
But Ryan comes down and he tells him at the interview, and Ryan and Sandy offer to help Seth practice. And again, another weird comment. He doesn't seem to notice Summer has an interview. Surely the moment you would hear, you'd both tell each other that you both had interviews, you know?
But then, as we see in this episode, he's on a serious freak-out downward spiral. So maybe this is the start of the tellings that he's on a downward spiral, if he's like, oh, can't tell anyone. Whoa.
Yeah, so
he's also got the additional pressure that Kirsten is like, oh my God, I'm so proud.
Yeah.
Like, that's also like, I mean, that's a heavy situation to be in.
Yeah, what he needs to hear is like, go, do your best. You've
it's
got backup plans.
Deal. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal. Even though it's a huge deal and your entire future is resting on how you perform.
Yes, it's massive. Your whole life depends on it. But he's freaking out, and we find out he's actually really freaking out about leaving Newport, and because it has been his dream for so long. He's planned it his entire life. And I think we've all been here when you build something up so much, and then when it actually comes to it, you're like, fuck. So yeah.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's really, really freaking out about it, and he pours coffee into his cereal, and
who hasn't done that? Come on.
Stares wistfully out the window, and he's like, Newport, I hardly knew you.
Onwards to school. Summer does have an interview for Brown 2, which is really exciting.
Yeah, she's buzzing, isn't she?
Summer's outfit here is so cute. Yes. Like, I would wear this now.
Would you call this, like, is this when she's, it's almost like a sort of, do you remember, like, sort of like long skirt, isn't it? And then, like, a cute little top in my face.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was a top and a skirt or, like, a dress.
Yeah.
But regardless, like, it's this, like, beautiful, like, dusty pink lace, kind of sheer with, like, a Victorian-style collar and, like, buttons up the front. It's very now.
Yeah.
Like, it's very now.
Yeah.
People, Topshop's got this bad boy in at the moment.
R.I.P. Topshop.
Well, that's on ASOS now.
Yeah. It's not the same, though, is it?
No. I also just think, I have been thinking for the last couple of years, I'm just a bit too old for Topshop.
No, you're not. We're never too old for Topshop.
No, because I keep going in and, like, I just never see anything I like.
You always get, like, the odd good midi maxi dress. But, yeah. Like, I don't, like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I could never shop in Urban Outfitters anymore. It's just...
No. I just think I need to accept I'm an H&M and Zara kind of gal now. Like, that's who I am.
Yeah.
Sad but true.
It's not sad.
Although Warehouse have been, like, targeting me hard on the Instagram at the moment. Hard. And they have got some nice stuff.
Right.
So, like, I can, maybe this is me.
I can hook you up if you want anything nice from Warehouse until actually late this evening. 50% off teacher discount. Yeah.
Teacher discount.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why you guys moan all the time. You guys have a good 2 weeks Easter holidays, teacher discount.
Any teachers out there, there is a website called Discounts for Teachers in the UK. And yeah, 25% off all of our bonus, 50% off at Warehouse. It's like insane.
Shit, yeah. Son. Right, yeah, you're getting a long email after this. Let's hurry up and get this over with so I can send you my shopping list. But yeah, cute outfit. But she is so excited.
Yeah, she is. She's absolutely buzzing. And she was a bit, Seth's like, are you nervous about leaving? And she's like, oh, well, I was, but I talked it out with my bootcamp instructor. And you can either ride change or change ride you. Wise words.
You want to see my war face?
She's so cute.
She is so cute. And this is where we find out that freshman year starts on 25th of August. So, like, that must seem quite close for them. Like, if it's January.
Yeah.
It's like only 8 months away. Not even a year away. Hoo-hee! Over to the Newport group. Sandy and Matt have nailed this pitch.
Yep.
Like, getting good vibes. They've done a great job.
But Matt says that the other group also have a strong proposal. And they have sort of wined and dined them with fancy dinners and wine and concerts and cruises. And Matt's like, yeah, I think we should do the same. But obviously, Sandy doesn't want to stoop that low. And he's
already given them bagels.
Yeah.
He does not want to do any more than that. There was bagels. Why wouldn't you go with
us? Yeah. So he wants to appeal to the guy's intelligence and not his taste for Pinot. So yes. Classic Sandy sticking by his guns. Mm-hmm. Right. This is weird. We've then got Summer and Marissa in school with a box of pictures of Caitlin.
Yeah, why would you
bring them
school?
To school?
Weird.
But lots of China chat, which I knew you'd love.
I know. Her little naked pony that looked like to be fair, see when she was like, it looks like a chihuahua? That's exactly
how
I imagined it in my head. Yeah. But yeah, why would you turn up? Why would you humph all of that stuff to school?
Yeah, it was weird.
To do it. Do they go to class? Like, so weird.
I don't know, but she's wanting to put an album together. Again, the type of thing you think you'd do at home.
Yeah.
And they then start talking about how spoiled Caitlin was. And Marissa's like, oh, well, Summer, you were actually just jealous. And Ryan joins them, and Marissa's just looking really wistfully at this old picture of her and Caitlin, and she's like, is this really the same girl who's been stealing money, lied about an abortion? And Ryan's just like, people change, especially when it comes to family. This is your chance to make amends, to get to know her.
In natural conversation, this is where he would talk about the fact that his brother was shot by her, and turns out his brother is like a mad rapist. Yeah. And yeah, that's probably where that conversation would have naturally led to.
Yeah.
Instead of completely skimming over the fact that Ryan has a brother and has experienced something very, very similar.
Yeah.
Like, not even a whiff of a mention.
Yeah. Are we surprised?
Continuity.
But we then jump to Caitlin and Johnny, who are walking on the pier, and she is talking about birthdays past. And basically, she's had the pretty extravagant parties. Also, how much was her top of the time? Do you remember cowl necks? She's got on this big white cowl neck, and it's like you're...
Do you remember Jane Norman?
Oh my God, yeah.
Jane Norman. So Jane Norman was a clothes shop in the UK. It doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No, my friend's uncle used to be like an accountant for it. And I remember she always used to get like 3-year discounted Jane Norman stuff. Yeah.
You have got hookups for everywhere, man.
Passion for fashion.
Our very own Julie Cooper. It was like this like quite... like very like fashion of the moment. Like it didn't have a style. It was just like whatever was popular. Yeah. And they used to have these bags. Jane Norman bags.
You take your pee kit.
Everyone had for school. Yeah. You used to take it for school.
Yeah, they were like pink with the silver writing.
Jane Norman. But remember they used to change colour every season. Yeah. So you had to get the new one.
Oh, it's absolutely
and
nuts.
Like Kirstie White used to come in with the new season one, and you were like, "Oh shit, mine's pink. It's meant to be purple." Yeah. And you had to go and buy something.
Buy like the cheapest thing to get. I'll have a large carrier bag. You didn't even pay for them at that time.
Remember when carrier bags were free? Yeah. The joys.
Oh man. So she's wearing a white cowl neck, and she's talking about. She had these extravagant parties, but the best thing was the little family after party where they'd watch The Sound of Music. I believe, and just have sort of family time and
eat some cake.
Yeah. And she asks, Johnny asks her, "Have you told Marissa that we've been hanging out?" And she's like, "No." Nope. How weird is this? She's like, "There's not like we're doing anything wrong." We find out that when they were at the beach, he just handed her a towel instead of taking advantage of her. Half naked in the ocean, and I'm just like, what a low bar for men. Like, oh no, you're such a good guy because you didn't try and rape me when I came out the sea.
You didn't take advantage of a child. Good job, pal. Yeah. Thumbs up.
Oh, setting the bar very low.
To be fair, there is a lot of that, and I don't want to go into it because we will both just get annoyed. Yeah. But there is a lot of that at the moment. I don't know if you've been following along in the UK, non-UK listeners, really sadly, a girl was murdered in London, and it's really opened up a lot of conversations about like women's safety and, you know, the things that women have to do to stay safe from men. And there's so many dickhead guys out there being like, yeah, but not all men. And it's just like, oh man. So like, cool, let's congratulate all those men that haven't raped or sexually assaulted people. Good job, guys. Good job.
It's very much the same sort of rhetoric as the
it's the same energy
all lives matter movement, isn't it? It's like, oh, anyway, let's not get too raging too early.
Let's not go down that road.
But yeah, as a little thanks, she gives him a kiss in the cheek, and annoying. But
I think a kiss on a cheek is more awkward than actually just going in for a snog.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's gross. But let's go to Dr. Roberts. Now, I was like, where are they here?
New location.
Yeah, new location. It looks quieter and like more nice place for them to have a date where they wouldn't probably bump into lots of people that they know. But he's late for lunch with Julie, and Julie has to leave because she's got to pick Marissa up from school. Now, when has this ever happened before? When has Julie done the school run?
Well, I mean, Marissa does have all of her family photo books to carry home, so she probably does need a lift. But don't understand why Ryan or Summer can't give her a lift.
Yeah, one of her many friends. But we find out that Julie's had to cancel two dates, and just with everything that's been going on, and she's like, yeah, I've been thinking, is this the right thing? Is it not? But then she says that she felt something.
Yeah.
She's trying to be sensible, but she has feelings for them. And in the background, they've got like that old tune, I Only Have Eyes For You, playing, and it's just really cute.
It's cute.
But
I mean, that must be so hard dating as like an adult.
Yeah, when your life is like not shambles, but you know, it's not what it was.
She's got a lot going on. Yeah, she's got, and Caitlin's just come back. Like, I don't think Dr. Roberts has been terribly understanding here. Like, because there's a whiff of annoyance that she's cancelled on him. And it's like, she's got a lot going on, mate. Like,
yeah,
come on.
I think when you think of, like, you've got that list of like life events that are particularly stressful, I mean, she's had them all. Moving house, new business, divorce on the cards, which then led to her husband actually dying, potential getting remarried to her ex-husband, then issues with both her kids. Like, she's got a lot going on, and I think she realizes it. But anyway, they reschedule for Sunday.
Totally alone. Just the two of them on Sunday.
Cute.
Over in Seth's room, Sandy turns out? No. Sandy does not turn out. He turns up. And basically Seth is freaking out. Like, all he's wanted to do is leave Newport. And now that he's actually here, he doesn't feel like he's ready to do it. Which I think is quite a universal feeling.
Definitely.
And Sandy says that. He's like, what you're feeling is totally natural. Like, but I think that's the difference. Like, it should feel like the start of an adventure and not an ending.
That's what Seth said.
But those
said.
Feelings can be mutual. Like, you can have both of those feelings.
So much. And I think sometimes it is very, something natural, I guess, to sort of cling on to the old when you don't know what the new is going to look for. I think it can be quite difficult to get excited for something that is so life-changing when, and I think he touches on it later on, Seth has had, like, basically all his dreams have come true in the past 2 years. You know, he's got these great friendships, he's got like the girl that he's been in love with all his life. It's pretty good. It's like it's what we were saying about Ryan when he was sort of unsure about college and stuff. They've got a pretty good deal of it just now, you know, and he's experiencing this continuity in his life, so it must be pretty daunting to think of anything different.
But you have to close one chapter to start the next, and it's important. So, but yeah, Sandy's phone goes really rudely, right in the middle of their conversation. And he's like, oh, sorry. And you can tell Seth is just like, ugh, we were talking. Like, come on now.
So he's like, I'm going to go for a walk, and off he goes. So then we cut to the trailer park, and we've got Marissa and Julie bringing home takeout. They're having dinner. A la Cohen, which I thought was a nice wee allusion to Kirsten's lack of cooking.
love of Thai food,
takeaway Thai. And then Julie's sort of gushing about her Sunday dinner date, which of course is Caitlin's birthday, and she's forgotten.
This was so awkward. Melinda Clark, if you do listen to our podcast, the acting in this scene is spectacular.
Yeah, it's fab.
Like, I'm going to confess it now. I once forgot Ali's birthday.
What? How? Was it when you were like doing long distance or?
Yeah, and it was awful.
Heather.
So I was super stressed. We were working on a pitch. I was living in London. Ali was living in Glasgow. It was midweek as well. It was like a Thursday or something.
Oh, birthdays obviously only count when they're on the weekend. What the fuck, right? Heather?
I know, right? but it was so stressful. We'd had loads of late nights in the office. And I remember, like, I got up and I was walking to work. I phoned Ali and was like, oh, morning.
Fuck.
I was talking to him on the way to work. I was like, oh, what you got planned for today? He's like, oh, I'm going to go meet Ian for dinner later. And I was like, oh, cool. That'll be nice. Like, good to hang out with him. Yeah, great. Went and had, like, an insane day at work. Walked home. Got into the flat. And my flatmate Maya was like, what did you get Ali for his birthday? I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, it's Ali's birthday today. And I was like,
fuck, oh my god, I'm dying for
you. Bearing
in mind,
this must be like half seven at night. I'd spoken to him and talked to him throughout the day. Half seven. It's Ali's birthday. And I was like, no, it's definitely not. She's like, it says on Facebook it is. And I was like, no, it's definitely, he would have told me if it was his birthday. Like, and I'm not going to forget his birthday. Like, and this was in June. And we'd just got engaged in the March.
Fuck off. So this isn't even like a year in or something. Oh, Heather.
We've been going out for 8 years at this point.
Holy shit.
And I had to phone him and be like,
did you not like,
I forgot your birthday.
Try and make some elaborate like lie up, like fooled you.
I was thinking about it. I was thinking of being like, oh, I've got like a surprise. It's a surprise. I didn't forget.
Like on a flight back to Glasgow.
Like, I know. There was no way around it. I had to just phone him and be like, I'm really sorry for being shit, but I forgot. And don't worry, he never lets me forget.
Did you take it on the
every
chin?
Year it gets brought up. God. Yeah, no, he was pretty sound about it. I think if it was me, I'd be livid. Oh, but I'd like, be. Yeah.
There are no words. But then there'd be no chance in that ever happening, because I would, in the lead up to my birthday, I'm like, for my birthday.
It's my birthday.
I bloody love birthdays. They're amazing. They're my favourite.
Well, I mean, he's still with me after that, so I think it's okay.
What a guy.
We did do a surprise, but I did a surprise birthday to make up to him at Christmas. Aww. So on Christmas Day, I'd like turned the spare room into like his birthday room and put loads of balloons up and got him a birthday cake and got him a birthday present that was all wrapped in like happy birthday stuff. So it was an actual surprise.
Yeah, because it's not his birthday. Yeah.
He's like, you're so weird. Brilliant. And I was like, well, here we go. Got some very expensive headphones as a guilt present.
Love it. So. Love it.
But Julie, I feel you. Sometimes you forget. It's okay, babe. I've got your back.
But Caitlin is raging and Julie really tries to make amends. And to be honest, I think Caitlin should really have not reacted the way she did. But again, she's 14. So she stalks out.
If my mum forgot my birthday, I would be fucking livid. Like, she actually birthed you. You can't forget that.
Yeah, well,
an annual reminder that something broke through your vagina. Yeah. Come on.
I don't know if I said this to you before. I went out for a family dinner for my birthday when I was like 24, 25. So I must have been 25 and my mum had like brought a cake. So they did that thing in the restaurant where they bring the cake out and you're like, and the candles were like 25 and I was 24 or vice versa. Like, but it was like a 2 and a 5, you know, rather than like.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's not what age I am. And my mum was like, and the guy was like, how are you two connected? And I'm like, oh, yep, that's my mum. Like,
that's my mum.
Fuck.
So, to be fair, though, like, if she'd age you a year younger, yeah. I'd be like, yeah, sure.
That's fine,
I'll
mum.
Stay 24.
That's fine. But yeah, so we then go back to the Coen kitchen and Sandy tells Kirsten that he has lost the offer. They've gone for the other group. And Kirsten then suggests, well, look, Sandy, why don't you try and woo them the way that you wooed me? They need to see who you really are. You don't have to wine and dine them. And then he makes some reference to like, oh, would they just like pizza and bad wine and like the back of a truck? Yeah. Kirsten's like, well, maybe not that far, but you get that she's wanting him to try and show his passion.
You can win someone over without having to spend
a lot of money.
Loads of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I like the sentiment. I like the idea. Okay, Seth bumps into Caitlin out on the pier and obviously she's smoking pot. Obviously.
Yeah, so she's smoking a joint to take the edge off and she explains that her mum forgot her birthday. And she's like, oh, I thought they really cared. And it's just like, ugh. And Seth tries to talk her round and is like, oh, there's a lot going on. I'm sure they didn't. And then she's like, can you imagine growing up with Marissa Cooper as your older sister? And she explains that her birthday was the only day where she got the spotlight, but it's not the case anymore.
We've missed out a really important bit.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. So we've missed out a really important bit where she says, do you want some?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And he says, I'm saving the whole drugs thing till college.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And is like, it's not really my bag because my dad did it at college and it's kind of ruined it for me and all the rest of it. But that seed has been planted. Yeah. I am smoking pot because it takes the edge off. Do you want some?
Yeah.
The seed is planted, my friends.
But he says she doesn't. And Marissa finds them and she's like, oh. And he's like, don't tell Marissa that I'm smoking pot. And then when her and Marissa are leaving, she's like, the offer still stands to Seth. So again, she's planted the seed. And she's saying the offer's still open.
Yeah. Back at the trailer, Caitlin's phone is ringing and Marissa picks it up. First of all, don't pick up other people's phones.
Yeah,
it's rude. It's rude. That call is not for you. Don't do it. But obviously, it's Johnny and he lies and says that he was trying to get hold of Marissa, but he couldn't get hold of her. So he was phoning Caitlin to try and get hold of her.
Whatever.
La, la, la. And then Caitlin comes out and is like, you're on my phone, like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, it's not for you, it's for me. If that was me, I'd be like, get off my phone. Not okay. And she says, so anytime a guy calls, it's for you. And I'm like, I kind of get Caitlin's annoyance here.
Yeah,
like, I would be annoyed too, I think.
But Marissa's like, oh, we're all going to the bait shop tonight. Why don't you come with us? Why don't you hang out? And he's like, oh, I can't. I'm doing something with a friend. Yeah. And he sort of makes an excuse. His mum's asking for him or something to hang up. And then Marissa wants Caitlin to come to the bait shop, but she can't because she is also going out with a friend.
Yeah.
And then Caitlin, being the wee cow that she is, phones Johnny.
Queen of manipulation.
Yeah, phones Johnny and asks him to go to the bait shop.
This is blatant pot-stirring behaviour. Like, wild. She's only doing that to cause trouble.
She's
only doing it because she knows she'll get a reaction. She knows there'll be drama.
She's a wee cow, so yeah.
Yeah, it's very teenage, like, it's very, yeah, I have no time for that sort of energy at my age.
No,
I definitely loved it back in the day, but now I'm like, no, let's just have quiet life, let's not do that.
Yeah, it's like Stephen always says when we watch like any of these sort of reality shows and it's someone relays something to someone in confidence and then you see them go over and be like, by the way, like so blatantly just to get
yeah
everything like riled up. And we all sort of know someone like that, don't we, that
we've all got one of them in our lives. We've all got one of them.
Yeah.
Over at Dr. Roberts' ridiculously beautiful, wonderful house. Every time I look at, see that like entranceway with the big glass doors and like the marble flooring?
Mm-mm-mm. It's unreal. Yes, but Julie tells Dr. Roberts that she has to cancel because of Caitlin's birthday and he offers up the house for her party, and what a party that'll be.
Yeah. Gives her a key as well. Yeah. I just thought this was like really nice. But then I think it is that thing that like separating facts and emotions.
Yeah.
And the fact is he is doing a nice thing by saying, you're in a tough position right now. Here is the key to my house. Have your party here. But Julie is putting loads of emotion on that and saying the reason he is giving me this key is because he wants me in his home. Yep. And it's jumping the gun a bit, isn't it?
It is, but you can see
how she got there. Yeah.
But we're then back at the pool house and Ryan's quizzing Seth and Summer to get them ready for their interviews. And we've got Summer just giving her general answers that she would give. She wants to be herself. Prada's been a big influence.
Summer's answers are banging here. Like, I would accept her into my uni. Like, I'm not even that big a fashion person, but like, if you have a belief and you can go with it and you can rationalize it and you can explain it in the way she does, I'm like, you don't have
so
like,
much. Don't need to justify yourself to anyone.
Yeah. But it goes back to that like gatekeepery vibe that Seth has a lot of the time, or a lot of people, a lot of white men have, where it's like, no, this is what the smart answer is. And this is the only answer there is. Yep. And you're just like, well, no, that's not what I want to do.
And I like what she says. She says, this interview could determine our whole lives. What if I end up with the wrong life? How brutal would that be?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So Summer then leaves to go and get a mani-pedi. What I would give for one, either both of those right now.
What is it she says as she's leaving though? She's like, our clothes teach us to change our perspective. And I'm just like, yes, Summer.
Yep.
I can get them told. I'm not even that big a fashion head. And I'm like, just get them told that their snobby, snobby answers are BS.
So true. And then I've just written down, so Ryan asks Seth, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And Seth launches into like this massive speech, which I haven't even written down. I've just written yawn because I'm like, oh, shut up, Seth. I don't know if there's anything of note that you wanted to pick up on that, but I just sort of switched off.
Literally just Seth is freaking out, like really freaking out, that he's worried he won't be happy. He's worried that he's happy now and he won't be happy then. But yeah, well, chill out, Seth, is what I have written down.
Yeah.
But it's definitely just that like spiral mentality where there's like one thing you're worried about and he is just
catastrophizing that well. To the extremes.
Yeah, 100%. There's also like, I find this really frustrating because he doesn't want to move because he's worried he won't be happy. And I don't know, maybe it's just like he's not been happy in his life until this point, which I don't really hugely believe. I imagine there were glimmers of happiness before. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, happiness is not just happiness is a state of mind. And like, if you go into a situation or an environment thinking this is going to be shit, it will be shit. Yeah. Whereas if you go into it with a positive mental attitude, you know, and I'm just, yeah.
So much.
Seth's just being a big negative Nancy, yeah. If you ask me.
But we then jump over to the Newport group, and I like this. We find out it's Saturday. I like when they actually give you signposts as to what is going on when.
But what day is it?
It's Saturday, the day before the birthday party. And Sandy tells Matt to give that guy Bill a call, to take him out. Yep. And Matt's like, okay, you're right in my way of thinking, brilliant. But instead, Sandy's like, nope, I want to take him on a walking tour of the hospital neighbourhood. And that involves going to a burrito stand.
Burritos.
Yeah, just like.
I love burritos.
Oh.
I love Mexican food.
So good. Yes, I can't wait to eat out again. But yeah, so we then.
Matt is not into this idea though, is he? You can tell he's like, oh no.
By the way, do you know who would have been a scary combination? Matt and Caleb.
They would have taken over the world,
yeah.
But Caleb turned up in something I was watching last night.
Oh, what was it?
We've been watching The West Wing. Uh-huh. Love it. Would thoroughly recommend. It's so good. There's also a rewatch podcast with it, which has it's so good. Would thoroughly, thoroughly recommend.
Cool.
But yeah, Caleb turned up as like a senator in it. And I was kind of looking at my phone and I just heard his voice and looked up and was like, Caleb's here.
Did you guys
Caleb's
not,
in the Oval Office.
Did you guys not mention this? I think in a previous season.
I think I mentioned my love for West Wing.
No.
I think it's the first time he's appeared.
I think it was when, I think we did some, you guys did some cross-checking when Caleb basically just wasn't in a few episodes and we were like, he must be doing something else. And I'm sure it was the West Wing. I could be wrong.
Maybe. But the that rings a bell. Similar.
Yeah.
Mm. We'll need to ask him.
Get him on our podcast. But yeah, we then cut to the bait shop where they're having a non-alcoholic bev as usual.
Is this like an unders club? Like, remember you could go to the unders, which was like,
yeah,
nightclubs in Glasgow that were open from like 8 p.m. till 10 p.m.
yeah, it's hard to tell. If I've never actually played much more attention to the other like clientele, whether it's like a sort of, it's definitely a bar, you know, but is it maybe
definitely
some place that unders are allowed in till 9 p.m. or something and then they get chucked, yeah, out and they just decide to go
it
there.
It definitely looks like a nightclub.
Yeah.
Like in this scene.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Who knows? But yeah, they go there. Ryan and Marissa having a bit of a chat and then Caitlin and Johnny enter and it's just, she's like, oh my God, Marissa, I totally forgot you'd be here. And Marissa's just raging, which I can understand, yeah, because it's two people, yeah, that she's supposed to be close to that have essentially been lying to her.
I would be raging if one of my friends age 17 were going out with my sibling,
yes,
age 14.
Yes.
Oh. I would be raging.
Yeah, she does. She looks, Caitlin's a bit like, you need to calm down, like I know you'd freak out. And Marissa just looks perplexed, which no wonder. Yeah. I think her and Ryan are just like, what the fuck, this is so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Marissa rightly says, uh-huh, she's like, I just don't like being lied to. And I don't think there needs to be any more justification to it than I don't like the fact that my older friend is going out with my younger sibling and that you've been lying about it.
And that
it.
You just phoned me a few hours ago, lied to me that it was me you were looking for, and then you both said to me, I can't come out with you because I'm going out with a friend, and then the both of you turn up at the place that I asked you to go.
100%. Anyway, back at the trailer park, Johnny's dropping Caitlin off, and she... She being the like total like Lady Macbeth character was like, admit it, watching Marissa get jealous, it felt good. That sentence is so dark.
Yeah, like, that is, isn't
so
it?
Dark. We all have little thoughts like that in our heads, but you don't say it out loud because you just sound like a psychopath.
Yes, she does. But Johnny's still not sure about hanging out. He talks about the age gap and she's like, oh no, I'm going to be 15 tomorrow. And she sort of like, she stalks away, but he's like, no, no, I want to keep hanging out as pals, even if it does annoy Marissa. And then, yeah, Seth appears out of the bushes.
Loitering in the shadows.
Looking for some weed.
To buy some pot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are going to buy weed, don't buy it off your friend's little sister.
Who's 14.
Who's 14. It's very different in America because it's legal in a lot of places. But, you know, just some life advice. Don't buy drugs from your friend's little sister.
Yeah, it probably wasn't at this time though, huh?
No, it wouldn't have been only
No.
Remember that I've been early 20-teens?
Yeah. So we then cut to Seth's room and you're just like, oh, this is such a bad idea. And Sandy comes in and you see him like sort of hiding something. And he's pretending to be like cramming for his interview, but you can tell he just really wants to smoke the pot. Yeah. And then Sandy says to him, oh, you should do something to relax. And you're like, oh.
Mate, just like have a wang. Like, do something else. Like, literally do something else. Like, I'm all for taking the edge off, but this is not...
No, it's not the best course of action.
I'm quite rebellious a lot of the time. Like, I've got that general fuck it attitude mm-hmm. a lot. But like, see, as soon as it comes to something, even when I was a teenager, and like, it's the same now with work, like, if it potentially jeopardizes my future or potentially jeopardizes my career or like even at like school or uni, I would never have done this.
No.
Like never have done this. And I can't understand being in that mindset where you would.
No, I completely agree. It's for something, yeah, like if I know I need to do something, I'd like there's been times that I've been like hellishly hungover, or I've been like, I don't know, like if you've had a deadline,
or procrastinating, yeah, if you leave it to the last minute, but you always I will get it done.
Like, whereas I know a lot of people will just be like, oh well, I'm just not going to bother because it's going to be shit anyway, or I'm not going to. But like what Seth does in this episode, like I could never,
that level of self-sabotage, I could is never just beyond
like
me.
Yeah, and yeah, again, that's just me, you know, but yeah. I'm like, are you, you're like, just go for the interview. How bad can it get? It can't be any worse than you not going at all.
Yeah. Also, if you're going to, another piece of life advice from me to you listeners, if you are going to smoke weed or smoke pot, don't smoke it out your bedroom window because your entire room is just going to fucking stink.
Yeah.
Like, go somewhere else. Like, go around the corner. Like, go somewhere else. Do not smoke weed in your living room, in your bedroom.
But maybe this is just Seth's lack of, his naivety and his lack of knowledge of, I've been down with the cool kids. But yeah.
But it just has such a distinct smell. Like, and it sticks to everything. Like, everything. Ugh. No. No, thank you.
Yeah, but we then cut, it's Sunday and it's Caitlin's birthday. And Marissa wishes her a happy birthday. She's trying to sort of like make amends and she's like, look, I'm sorry, but it's just Johnny's a lot older than you. And then Caitlin's just like, oh, well, please, like, you like him.
That's not why you're mad. You're mad because you like him. So we've talked about this before and like Caitlin talks about it later as well. But like, I feel like this isn't a valid argument. See if Caitlin was older or Johnny was younger, if the age thing wasn't a thing and Marissa was mad, I would be like, okay, yeah, she is clearly jealous and that's what it is, but like, she is so legitimate in her anger,
most definitely.
Right now
there's no contesting it, really. It's, she's so, and even I know she's 15, but it's just
yeah. And it's just, it comes back to that whole thing of women not being believed.
Yeah.
And like, women get this a lot, women and girls get this a lot, that they're not believed. And like, Marissa having legitimate, valid reasons for her 15-year-old sister not going out with her 17-year-old friend, that is a good enough reason. And for the writers or society or whatever to turn around and be like, no, that's not true, that's not the reason, the reason is you're jealous. It's like someone calling you a psycho, like, oh, you're just being a psycho. And it's like, no, don't illegitimize her very valid feelings of paedophilia.
Yeah, no, by the end of this episode, I was just like, I absolutely hate Caitlin. Julie comes in all hot and sweaty, looking great, and
she looks great.
Yeah, she's been saying how she's getting back into her running after all her years of cardio bar and yoga lattes.
She was like, I got three honks. Also not okay, don't honk at women running. Julie, that's cute.
Yeah, oh god. But yeah, she tells the girls about the party at Neil's. She's got those endorphins, hasn't she? Because she's like totally, she's singing glowing. And she's loving it. So yeah, we then have Caitlin. Oh, again, no reason for this. She goes to visit Ryan at the pool house to invite mm-hmm. him to her party. And then she's like, oh, I wonder if Marissa will mind if I invite Johnny. And I'm just like, she is such a little... She's just such a sitter. She is such a weak out. Yeah. Like, why? This is really manipulative. It's really vindictive for one so young.
Yeah. Vindictive is 100% it. Because it's not even like manipulating it to get what she wants. She's just manipulating it to hurt Marissa. And that's just
shit. Yeah, but she also, because Ryan knows, he's like, I totally know what you're doing and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But again, it's like planting that seed, isn't it? He's like, okay, this is something that's been underlying for quite a while.
Well, clearly Caitlin can see the situation out with her and Johnny. She thinks Marissa has feelings for Johnny. Johnny has feelings for Marissa. Ryan kind of knows all of that. So she is just like not even planting those seeds of doubt, because those seeds are already there, but definitely she's like encouraging them to bloom.
She's watering them, she is.
I also love the fact she brought up Luke and she was like, oh, you guys look like the perfect couple, but people used to say that about her and Luke.
Yeah, oh, she's horrid. She's absolutely
Don't you
horrid.
Talk badly about my look, no. Caitlin. I will come over and have a word.
But speaking of flowers and blooming, we cut to Kirsten and Julie having a chat, and Julie's doing some flower arranging. And Heather, she had peonies, which I know are like our favorite flowers. Like, I remember us having a chat about this time last year.
I messaged you last year because you managed to get peonies so again, non-UK listeners, there's a lot of you. Peonies bloom in the UK from like April to June. Yeah. It's quite a short window. I think it was like March or something. You had a bunch, and I was like, where the frick are you getting this secret stash from?
Popped up in Marks and Spencer's. I love them. They're my favorite flowers. So they're having a chat, and Julie says that although her and Neil haven't kissed yet, Kirsten's like, well, lending you the house is a really good sign. And then Julie starts being like, I'd maybe like change up the marble. And Kirsten's just like,
she's moving in her head. That's so dangerous.
Yeah, you're like, calm it. And then the scene sort of finishes on Julie like admiring the silverware, the nice silver teapot. it is cute. And then we cut to Sandy and his walking tour, which involves churros.
Yeah, I love churros.
I was going to ask.
I absolutely love churros.
I don't get it. It's just, they're not
for me. Oh my God, they're
me.
Delicious. See that Lupin scoop around the corner for
Why
me?
Do people queue so much for that? It's like bizarre. There's constantly a queue.
Because it's delicious.
Or people drive to it. I'm like,
I drive to it. It's delicious. They don't deliver to my house and I'm livid.
I'm not that mad on sweet treats. I would much rather have something savoury. So
I went there for my birthday last year, actually. Lockdown birthday.
Oh, cute.
That was my one shop in that day. Oh. Go and get some.
Oh, man.
I love churros. I would have stuck by Sandy and his walking tour. But he very quickly realises that he's losing him and turns to Matt and is like, let's do it your way. Mm-hmm. Now, let's do it your way in my brain. Cut to like a really fancy, expensive restaurant and them eating like fancy food. Or like maybe like a really nice bar.
Yeah, take them
to
the yacht club.
What actually happens is quite... Yeah, take them to the yacht club. What actually happens...
is quite sordid.
It's quite shocking. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that. Caitlin's swimming. I want to go swimming. This scene very much upset me.
You talk about swimming, wanting to go swimming a lot, Heather.
I miss swimming. I really do. Not been able to swim since... God, since I swam in the sea last year.
Oft.
Like August last year. Ugh. God, I don't even want to think about it.
Not too long, hopefully. But she's swimming. Dr. Roberts arrives and Julie's like, oh, thank him for throwing your party. And she's like, oh, yeah, thanks. And then, this is so awkward, man. Like, Johnny arrives. Caitlin's all drinking wet in her swimsuit. And she hugs him in her wet bikini. And Marissa's just like, what the fuck? And it's all just awkward.
Let's just gloss over the fact you said wet in her swimsuit. Oh, that was it's not even funny. It's not even a joke. God,
it's not Heather.
That.
It's not. But yeah. It's just awkward. It's awful.
Yes, it is. And like Marissa's there fixing balloons and just looking really pissed off and flustered and annoyed.
Yeah.
And I'm just
You totally get it.
Over to Seth's room. Please tell me he's only smoked one of these, because in the bag there was three.
Yeah.
And I was like, see if he's smoked all three of them.
But Ryan's trying to get in, and this is her first encounter with High Seth.
Stone Seth.
Yeah. And he's totally...
I love that he's...
Oh, sorry.
I love that he's cutting about with the air freshener. Like, mate, that air freshener is doing nothing.
That's not working.
You need to get yourself some Febreze. You need to get yourself some mouthwash.
He is come on. Talking just absolute shite, basically. And Ryan realises he's high, finds the pot, and then what you've got next is Ryan sort of frantically scrambling to save Seth, really. It's 3:30, his interview's at 4. Again, this bit annoyed me too. Like, he calls Summer, who's about to go into an interview, which I'm like, unfair. She's essentially the biggest interview of her life. And although I'm glad Ryan, he just asked her to stall. He just says Seth's going to be late.
Nothing more.
Because I was like, see if he lands this on her before she goes into it. But anyway, so he brings Seth coffee and Seth's just like, look, it's only pot. It's not a big deal. And Ryan's like, pal, you did it in secret and you're doing it on your own. And it's bloody like Seth Cohen. It's definitely a big deal.
But yeah, it's really quick from like Seth being in the shower, Ryan bringing him coffee to try and sober him up, getting to school, him like pushing him along the corridor, just like looking completely out of his tits. And he's like, right, you're going to be fine. This is all going to be fine. Summer comes out and she's like, I've been in that interview for like an hour and a half. Like, what took you guys so long? And this is where Seth, before Summer turns up, this is where Seth tells Ryan it was Caitlin that got him the pot in the first place.
He's like, Caitlin got me. He launched into the whole spiel that we talked about a bit earlier about how 2 years ago his life changed for the better and he's really worried about what the future's going to bring. Says he got the pot from Caitlin and is like, don't tell Summer. And then Summer also comes out and says to Seth, you better not mess up because if you do, our future together is ruined. So Seth then just decides to patch it all together.
Completely bottles it, runs away. I haven't watched on any further. You sometimes watch. I mean, you've seen
I've,
it before.
I've not this week. And this actually, we'll talk about it when we get to the end, but it just left me with such a sense of foreboding. Like, I really didn't like this version of Seth. Like, I just felt, oh gosh, he's usually the one that adds a bit of humour or brings it all together with just his stupidity generally, you know? So, it was pretty dark.
I really hope he doesn't get into Brown. And I know a lot of people think that's, like, really harsh. But, like, he made a choice.
Yeah.
It wasn't... Like, he doesn't deserve a second chance, in my opinion.
You don't want to, like... maybe next week we'll have Get Safe Into Brown t-shirts or something. You know, it's like, this isn't something that should have them rallying to solve. This is like, welcome to
made a stupid mistake,
the real world.
And that's the thing, like, rich people, white people, men are in such a position of privilege and power that they can get things turned around, that they can get like a second chance. And in the real world, that just doesn't happen. And I'm like, you have fucked this, mate. You and your decisions alone have fucked this, and you don't deserve a second chance, in my opinion.
No, I'm completely with you on that one.
But anyway, back at the party.
Oh my God, right.
Got real deep there. Sorry.
At the party, they all look like 12. They look like they're at a 14-year-old's party. It's very like cutesy. It's not the sort of parties that we're used to. It's the party that a 14-year-old like should be at. But Ryan and Summer arrive and Marissa just looks really glad, as I think she's just cursing Caitlin's wee pals, and obviously Johnny's kicking about with Caitlin. So Summer goes,
have you been to...
Sorry, no.
So I went to a wedding a couple of years ago and Ali was a best man and I didn't know anyone at the wedding.
Oh no.
And it was just me. And honestly, like, so loads of our pals were coming to the evening part, but literally nobody I knew other than the bride and groom. It was like the bride and groom and Ali and one of the other groomsmen didn't know anybody else at the wedding. And it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Heather.
I was trying to make like small talk, was trying to do that, and then ended up just getting absolutely shit faced because I was just sitting on my own. And then like, when our friends turned up, honestly, I was just like, oh my God, I'm so glad
you're happy.
So when Marissa was like, oh my God, I'm so glad, people I know, I'm like, yeah, I know that feeling all too well.
Yeah, something similar. One of my best friends was a bridesmaid at like one of her best friends from school's wedding. and I was her like plus one, and it was up in St. Andrews, and I'd met the friend like a handful of times and her partner, but like knew none of her friends. The only other people I did know were in the wedding party. And it's just stuff like when the photos are getting taken or all the hanging about bits, and you just feel
the ceremony when you're like sitting on your own. And you're like,
well, that's it. And they got married in St. Andrews, like in the really fancy chapel. I don't know if it's like the Abbey or whatever. And you know, that way I'm like, where on earth do I sit here? Like, it was I just felt really, and I'm just there by myself. And there were a couple of people did take like pity on me and came to chat and stuff. But it's like, even like, who are you? Oh, I'm like the bridesmaid's pal.
I don't really know why. She got a plus one.
Yeah, I can usually hold my own, and like yourself, we'll chat away, like not particularly shy. But yeah, there's nothing worse than feeling like a spare part. It's just like, okies.
But yeah, the gang turn up. Summer goes to talk to her dad about the interview, which I thought was good. Yeah. And Marissa and Ryan chat about Caitlin. I don't understand why Ryan chose that moment to tell Marissa. Like, surely wait till the next day.
Yeah. And the next scene I just find really creepy. So we've got like Johnny and Caitlin go up to her room, which is very childlike.
Is this not Summer's room?
Of course. Why didn't I click?
I mean, also Summer's room is very childlike, which is weird. That's a side note. Summer's room is very
childlike. That is a side note, but it just felt, I don't know. Yeah, it was probably a good setting for this. I felt it really accentuated the age difference. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, they go up to, sorry, thanks for that. I don't know why I didn't
It was Princess
click.
Sparkles, wasn't it? That's what was getting you.
But she wants Johnny to give her a present. And she's like, I'm 15. It's so creepy.
It's so weird.
And he's like, oh no, I like you. And she's like, prove it. And they have this just really awkward kiss. And
it's then like the most PG kiss ever as well. Like, it's not even, there's no passion there. It's just,
it's
weird.
So manipulative and vindictive again, because straight after it, she's like, right, let's go downstairs.
Yeah.
As if like, tick the box, made him give me a kiss.
Yeah.
Now I can use this leverage.
She says it as well. She's like, are you afraid that Marissa will walk in? And he's like, I'm not, like, I don't care about Marissa. And then he's like, so, like, she's like, so prove it. And it is literally just so manipulative.
Yeah.
So manipulative.
It's awful. But Seth turns up to the party. Still high.
And he lies, doesn't he? Says he did the interview.
It's like, yep, went well. I mean, you're going to get found out. You are going to get found out.
Yeah. Do you know what? Part of me is like, see if you lie to me and I'm never going to know the truth, and there's no way I can know the truth and it's not going to hurt me. I don't care. But I'm like, how are you planning on getting out of this, mate? Like, what's the end goal?
But Johnny and Caitlin come downstairs and she's like, Johnny gave me my birthday present. And it's just so sexualized and horrible.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. And Marissa chases after her.
Yeah. Right, this next scene. Speaking of creepy, Matt has turned his apartment into the Playboy grotto. This is so gross. Again, expectation, fancy restaurant, wine and dine, expensive wine. He's just got loads of prostitutes over to his house.
Yeah, it's definitely not Sandy's vibe at all. And then, it's awful because, Bill, the investor guy, is obviously in. And he's like, look, Sandy, I know you're trying to take care of me, so I'll take care of you. Like, that's business. And then he says the words that Sandy really wants to hear, Caleb would be proud.
I just think from Matt's perspective as well, like, surely there's somewhere in the middle. So Sandy, one end of the spectrum, taking him to get burritos out the back of a van, the other end of the spectrum, prostitutes. Like, what is the middle ground?
She just went to strippers,
going to the yacht club. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why Matt has gone so hard. Like, pull it back a bit, mate. Come on, read the room. Read your boss. Weird. Yeah.
But we've got, so then we cut to Marissa has caught up with Kirsten and Johnny, and she's like, look, I need to talk to my sister. And she's like, what? Who are you? What is going on?
Yeah.
And Kirsten's like, look, this is about Johnny. And she says,
you keep calling her Kirsten. You're turning into me.
Caitlin says that, look, this is about Johnny. And then she tells Marissa that she made out with him. And Marissa's just yeah, I feel like Misha Barton's facial expressions are just all over the camp here. She's like, and And then Caitlin makes the sort of quite astute comment where she says, "You may not know me, but I know you."
Yeah.
And I know that you've got feelings for them. Yeah, it's just, it's back to what we talked about earlier. Vanessa does have, like, Caitlin just doesn't have a leg to stand on here regardless. Yeah. Vanessa's concerns are founded.
Yeah. And the more she says, "No, I don't," the more it looks like she does.
Yeah, she does.
But she's away. She's way up the road. She's left her own party.
Her own party.
And this is where Julie and Marissa have an argument, which I feel really bad for Julie here, because like, she's gone to the effort to try and do something really nice for Caitlin. Okay, she forgot in the first place. She's trying to make up for it. She's got the cake. She's invited loads of people, yada, yada, yada. And like, Marissa just goes really back into that like season one Marissa.
Yeah, but I feel as well, Julie's like, "Oh, you shouldn't have," like, she's really blaming Marissa. And Marissa does sort of say, "Look, a party won't fix her family," which was harsh. But I think it's one of those things, you know, when something goes wrong and people just start sort of bouncing the blame off one another when they know that it's really neither of their faults, but they're just reacting to in the moment.
Yeah.
But Marissa wants to go home without Ryan for some fresh air.
Yeah.
Despite the fact they've been outside the whole time.
Yep.
Cool. And oh, this next scene is awful.
Yeah,
it's just so sad.
It does make me think Dr. Roberts is a dick.
He doesn't come
like when
well,
the going gets when the going gets tough, Dr. Roberts gets going. So he thinks that him and Julie should
reevaluate.
Yeah, not move forward because they've both got a lot going on. But he doesn't have that much going on. It's basically him saying, "You and your family, your situation's too much, and
too much baggage
with it." Yeah, which shows what kind of man he is. Sad, Julie. Oh,
it's when he tells her to leave the key.
Yeah,
it's just.
Seth turns up to Summer's room. Is the party still going on downstairs when this is happening?
God knows.
Anyway, she's like, "Please tell me it went okay." And he's like, "We're going to be together next year," which is just lies. Just lies, 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 lies. Over to Sandy's office.
Yep, Kirsten finds Sandy and he tells her the good news. Kirsten says, "Oh, but you did it your way." But
he obviously didn't do it his way. He's also sitting there having a whiskey in his office at whatever time in the morning looking sad. Like, come on, female intuition, Kirsten. Like,
yeah, something's
human
not right
there. Intuition. Come on now.
And then we end on, I quite like when episodes end on like a sort of montage of them all
we've
looking
not had
sad
this
to music.
In a while.
Not had it in a while. So we've got Sandy with his whiskey looking very conflicted.
Ryan in the pool house looking at his picture of him and Marissa.
And then obviously if Marissa's at the beach hut, isn't she?
Our sad lifeguard hut. She's not been there in a while.
Yep. And then Caitlin's locked out of the trailer.
Yep. And then Julie has to leave the key at Dr. Roberts' house and shut the door behind her. Sad.
And then you've got Summer looking cute reading the Brown prospectus that she's ripped all the courses she doesn't fancy out of, so it's about two pages.
Yeah. And then Seth having a big fat joint in his room. We have moved forward. He rolled up the table and he's put it against the bottom of the door. So we've moved on. He's getting there. He's figuring it out.
But I don't like this Seth.
Yeah. No, me neither. I have some beef with weed and with pot. I don't like people who are so, like, I just find my tolerance level is non-existent. Yeah. Like, I just find a lot of the time they have really shit chat. I just don't get it. I have tried it and I don't enjoy it. Like, it's not my vibe. Like,
not your jam.
No, it just made me really like, I didn't feel chill. Like, I felt quite stressed, which I did not need any more stress in my life. But yeah, I just don't enjoy it. I think a lot of the time people use it to mask a lot of mental health issues. And I think like, this is clearly what they're trying to insinuate here. And don't get me wrong, loads of people use it and have a lovely time and are great and it's really good for them. Medicinally, it's really important, I think. But yeah, I just feel this like getting stoned to mask your dealing with your own mental health and your own situation is like really dangerous.
Yeah.
So I guess it's good they're talking about it.
Yeah, no, definitely gets it out there, doesn't it? But yeah, so we'll see how see how that progresses next week.
Yeah, I'm quite anxious about that storyline. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely potential for a rapid downward spiral.
Yeah. And he's totally fucked it with Brown. So clearly, long term, they're not going to go to Brown together, presumably, if she gets in, if Summer gets in. So, yeah, Lord knows where that storyline's going. If I was Summer, Summer's got to find out as well. Like, she's going to be livid.
Oh, gosh.
What else? What else is happening? Oh, Summer, I know, Marissa and Ryan.
Marissa and Ryan, Caitlin and Johnny. Volchuk. Taylor. Oh, another episode free of Taylor or Volchuk.
Maybe they're doing weird things with candle wax and tube shop, tube socks tube, and Fiona.
Tube socks.
Tube socks. Fiona and Apple. Fiona Appleton albums. Hey. What a weird thought. Yeah, Summer. No, not Summer. Marissa and Ryan can't be long together. Like, this has been going for too long. Ryan has been too chill. There's going to come a point.
He has been too chill, hasn't he?
There's going to come a point he's just going to be like, nah, I've had enough of this.
Yeah, I always feel when we're doing this, I don't really say much because... don't want to give any potential spoilers.
Yeah, no, I just like, if I was, he doesn't, Ryan doesn't even look like he's having fun. When was the last time they had fun?
Yeah, he's generally just, he's had so far he's had to have a fake bar mitzvah, leave his fake bar mitzvah to prevent the guy that fancies his girlfriend from potentially holding up a petrol station.
All he's done this season is shout at Johnny in a like big brotherly way to try and get him to sort his life out.
Like, drive back and forth from that bloody Newport Union.
Try and sort Seth out. Like, Ryan is not having a good time this season.
And Matt.
And Matt. God, yeah. The Newport Ryan's had a tough one. Yeah, I just feel quite bad for Ryan. I just feel like he's not having any fun.
Nah, he's not. He's not.
I kind of hope they break up, to be honest.
It's not really going anywhere, is
it? Ryan deserves better.
It does. I feel like remember we were like, at the start of this season, we were like, self-care Sandy. Ryan needs some self-care.
Yeah, agreed. What else? Caitlin. Caitlin's got to be going back to school soon, right? She was only home for a midwinter break, so she must be going home soon.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah. The whole Johnny storyline... it's just been going on for so long. What else? Oh, Julie
and Dr. Roberts. Yeah, and hopefully their business takes off enough that
she can get out
somewhere
trailer.
Nicer to live. Yeah,
that would be good. Yeah, I just want good things for Julie and Ryan. That's all I want.
Yeah, Ryan, and we need to find about Ryan and Marissa's college choices as well, because I've not really heard that much.
Oh yeah, for Berkeley. Good point.
Yeah, and what is Marissa even going to apply to?
Has she applied? Did she apply?
No, there was chat. There was so much drama surrounding it that I actually forgot. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be brought up soon. So yeah, and hopefully we get to see more of
Volchuk.
Taylor and Volchuk.
This episode was like such a bummer, but I'm so, like, I really want to watch the next episode, and I've not had that. Like,
not had that
I just
ages.
Want to watch the next episode in ages. So yeah, that's good. Listener of the week.
Listener of the week. Who have we got?
Our listener of the week is Pippa Nicole, one new person that has appeared on our Instagram DMs. Lovely Pippa messaged us saying, just discovered your podcast and listening from the start while on maternity leave during lockdown. Thank you for keeping me entertained and reminiscing about the OC. I used to love the show. I'm still listening to your season one, so plenty left to get through. Thanks again and loving your work. So Pippa, I don't know what rate you're going through, but if you hear this soon, get in touch. Let us know.
Hi Pippa.
So yeah, cute. Maternity leave during lockdown. What a ride.
I know.
Good job, pal. I'm sure you're nailing it. I'm sure it's tough, but I'm sure you're nailing it. If you would like to be in with a chance of being listener of the week, you need to follow us at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to just start saying Instagram because I never post on Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, Instagram's where we're at. And yeah, give us a shout. We love it. We, like, so many of you get in touch on the reg to like tell us what you're thinking and what your thoughts are. So we really appreciate it. And it's great chatting to you all. You can also subscribe and leave reviews wherever you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate that. I've found out recently a lot of our American reviews don't appear on our Apple podcast. Like, I can't see them, but people in America can see them. So if you're experiencing that and you've left a review and you're like, that bitch said she'd make me Lister of the Week and she hasn't, DM me.
Just
slide
into
the DMs, give us a screen grab and we'll give you a shout out. But yeah, that's us. Onwards. Awesome. Next week.
Lots to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. See you next week. Bye.